Are you limiting your options? You ever thought about the other options you do have when you're making a decision? This is Dale Callahan, Company of One, episode number 99.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan, dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
And welcome to the 99th episode. This is the 99th time I've done this. Actually, as you know, doing anything, this is well over the 99th time I've done this because I've made so many mistakes and had to redo things so many times. But, you know, that's just the way things go. So welcome. I'm trying to figure out, is there something special I'm supposed to be doing for our 100th episode? Hey, you guys can tell me. I'd be love to hear it. Before we do anything else, I do want to say that I'm still looking for people. I kind of slacked off on this, but I'm still looking for some people to give us iTunes reviews. You can go to iTunes and give a review on this, and I will do a free coaching call with you. And I've done this with four or five people so far, maybe more than that. I don't know. And I haven't done it in a while, so I'm going to go back and do that again because I've got a little bit of time in the schedule to pull that off now. At least time is coming up. Really busy right now. Really, really busy. The summers were a very busy time for me because it seems like everything I do is critical. The summer is the critical time. We all have that, right? We all have that critical time of the year of where everything's the crunch, or maybe it's the critical time of the quarter. I know a buddy of mine's in equipment sales, and every quarter, at the end of the quarter, it's crazy. So, you know, that's a good thing to plan for, just to know that's coming and to not have too much planned during those times because, man, you can just get killed just because you assume you can do everything, right? Do you do that? Do you assume you can do everything at all times? I do. And so far, I haven't pulled it off. But I'll let you know if I can reach Superman ability. I wanted to do this. This is a little bit out of... I have this long plan of podcast that's queued up here in a big, giant sheet over here in the wall in the office that shows what podcasts are coming up. Actually, what I'm doing is podcasting... through a product that we're trying to release. And the product is essentially helping people start their own business. It's one of the things I do a lot of coaching on. And I'm actually looking at probably doing a joint venture with someone pretty quickly on this where he and I are going to work together to coach a group of people through getting their business started. Actually, just defining what it is to get started. You know, that's one of the big challenges when we talk to people. What do we want to do? What can I do? How can I make money? So, related to that is a subject that I wanted to talk to today about making decisions. A little bit different, though. What are your options? I have run into multiple situations in the last couple of weeks where people have reached out to me in decision-making time. And it for some reason, every one of them fell directly in line with the book Decisive. Now, that's a great book. I'm an avid reader. And I was just looking at my reading page. If you go to the DaleCallahan.com, look on the right-hand side, my reading list or my library, I've got links of books that I've read, and I realized, man, I haven't updated it. Some of the books, like Decisive is a currently reading book, and it's well past that. So I'm going to update that. But, you know, I always like to look at what people are reading, and oftentimes I pick that up and... My reading list needs some serious updating. I'm going to do that right after this podcast gets recorded. So hopefully by the time you hear this, it should be updated. Because you know, I'm not selling these books. These are books that are not that I've written, or at least 99% of them are not. These are things I'm learning from. I'm looking at what other people say, what other leaders think. Reading is a critical thing. And one thing is, I've talked to people that are looking at starting companies. One of the core questions I will ask is, what are you reading? How are you expanding your abilities? How are you expanding your knowledge? Reading is a big deal. I mean, you know, whether it's reading or listening to Audible or whatever. But, you know, a lot of times we start with the Amazon, looking at Amazon, what are people reading? So usually that is a big deal to me. When I look at other people's blogs and websites, it's what you're reading. When we talk about our mastermind groups, when we get in the mastermind group meetings, one of the things that we so often talk about is what books we're reading. I probably order, on average, a book a week from our mastermind meeting. Sometimes I order three from a single mastermind meeting, because these guys and gals are just, they're doing awesome stuff and they're reading. And if they tell me, hey, this is a great book, I need to read it. That's just the way it is. Of course, I don't read everything word for word. As you well know, I've got a post out there, How to Read a Book in 30 Minutes, and that's what I'm oftentimes doing, is reading a book in 30 minutes. I'll put a post to that in the show notes. By the way, the show notes today are dellcallahan.com/99 for the 99th episode. So let's talk about the book Decisive. This book is titled Decisive, How to Make Better Choices in Life and Work. Now, I'm not really trying to talk about the book, but the book is relevant to conversations I've been having. Now, just so you know, it's written by Chip Heath and Dan Heath, who are the authors of Switch and Made to Stick. So they're well-known authors for doing some great business content. I've run into several situations, as I said, that where people are making these decisions. And let me just couch the decisions this way. They say, Dale, I'm trying to decide whether to do A or B, right? You ever make that choice? I'm trying to decide whether to take job A or stay where I am. I'm trying to decide whether to buy a house, A or B, to buy a car, A or B. Or maybe I'm trying to decide whether to buy a car or keep my car. Or maybe I'm just trying to decide, something about a college that I'm planning to attend. We get into these A and B decisions, and I'm calling that, and partly because that's kind of what he's doing in the book. Now, I'm not talking about everything in the book here. I'm just talking about one section of the book that I think is empowering, if you can think about it, and it's called Widening Your Options. And essentially, these guys are saying what happens here is we get in narrow frame mind. And sometimes we do this accidentally. We just accidentally find ourselves in the situation where I'm trying to decide on A or B. And that's narrow thinking. That's narrow thinking because you've got a or B decision. Now, let me just tell you, this is how politicians oftentimes do us when they're debating, when they're doing things, or somebody who's trying to win us over. This is how salespeople do, is we try to, and there's logic terms for this. I don't want to get into that, but they try to back us into a corner saying, it's this or that. Make up your mind. You know, politicians will paint this picture of, hey, my plan is rosy and everything's wonderful, or you can have, you know, poverty and violence and being attacked by communist nations. You know, you can have these kind of things. And what they're trying to do is sell you on an idea, right? And this is why salespeople do it. They will give you, and be very, very careful. Salespeople are very good at this, probably much better than politicians, of giving you scenarios to help you to purchase their product. If you look at drug commercials, you take this drug and you'll feel better. If not, you won't. Right? And that, as if this is the only option there is for you. Now, what does an A and B decision have to do? Let me just give you a couple of scenarios that I've come into. And I'm kind of walk you through what Chip and Dan walk you through in the book. And I just thought the book was awesome because they do such a great job. By the way, these are not trivial decisions. If you're thinking, well, Dale, I don't do this. I don't make these decisions this way. I don't get caught in A-B trap. I'm smarter than that. No, he's talking about most corporate takeovers, most corporate mergers and acquisitions, M&As, get into the A-B habit. Billions of dollars on the line, analytical people, and they still get in the same problem. So if you think you're above this, yeah, you're probably not. I know I'm not. And not that I'm any smarter than you, but I don't think you're above it. I don't think I have yet to see anybody above. As a matter of fact, let me give you the situation that came up just the other day. This guy that calls me, good friend, somebody that very intelligent. I mean, this is a very intelligent guy, very bright, analytical. The brainiac, I mean, I will call him. So he calls me, he sits down and he says, Dale, I've got this job offer. I'm making this amount of money. And he's making good money already. I love my job. I have tons of freedom. I have a great team. I love the people I work with. I love what I'm doing, right? All sounds perfect. And he says, but I've got this job offer where they're going to give me, and I think it amounted to a $60,000 to $80,000 per year win for him. So he's like, I'm trying to decide whether to take that job or not. He was caught in an A-B trap. Immediately, I mean, the minute I heard it, and this is the first of the many conversations I've had back to back to back, the minute I heard him say, I need to decide whether to do this or not. If you hear yourself saying whether or not to do this, or I need to do X or Y, step back. You're in an A-B trap. You're a narrow frame mindset. Now, let me give you the rest of this guy's story because I think this is relevant. He says, this is his situation. He says, they've put an offer on me. He says, somebody just calls me out of the blue. They want to talk to me. I go talk to them. Of course, if somebody calls you, you're going to entertain the opportunity. He says, I talk to them and they come back and make me this huge financial bonus in the same city I live. All these wonderful things, but it's going back into corporate America. He's more with an entrepreneurial firm. So it's going back into corporate America. And I just remember him saying, he said, the thought of me before I came here, I thought I was going to throw up over making this decision. And I was like, what do you mean? He says, it's making me sick, the thought of going back into corporate America. I cannot stand corporate America. He says, in corporate America, now this is his opinion, you know, and this is where he stands, but I might agree with some of this, but that doesn't mean this applies to everyone. But he says, in corporate America, you spend hours and hours and hours doing nothing. He said, you spend a massive amount of time in meetings and email, and nothing really gets done, but everybody's running around like crazy. He says, it's insane. I hate it. I don't fit in corporate America. He's trying to make a decision. And I even used these words to him. I said, so it sounds like to me, you're trying to make a deal with the devil. He just laughed. Not really. He didn't laugh. I mean, he was really so concerned over this decision that it was literally making him sick. You could just tell he was worried to death over this. So I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you're trying to do this. Now, so many people have said this is a great situation to be in, but he used the words to me. He said, and so if you're thinking you're getting a phone call, you're getting a huge salary boost, and it's a great decision, his words to me was, my life was so much better before they brought this offer to the table. I was happy. And now he's got all the family pressure and all kinds of things, people telling him to take the job. So what we did is I said, well, look, You're caught in an A-B trap. So I described this situation to him, you know, just the decisive book. I said, you've got A or B. I said, what about C, D, E, F? What are your other options? So we talked through his other options. And you know what? And this happens almost every time. He realized he was making a decision based upon a personal mortgage debt he needed to pay off, or it was a financial situation. And it wasn't huge. It wasn't a huge thing, but he was going to make this huge sacrifice. So we started talking about, what are your other options? Widen your options. That's what the book calls it, is widen the options. So when you're thinking about, I'm trying to decide whether to do this or that, write this on the page and say, this A, that is B, and then write down C. Start coming up with other options. Even if they're stupid, crazy, insane options, just start brainstorming. What's some other options? You know, one of his other options, he could just quit both jobs. Another option is he could go find another job. Now, this is what's shocking to me. This happens to people all the time, is recruiters pick up the phone, they call them, because if you know anything about the recruiting world now, you know that they don't look for resumes. They're going out on LinkedIn, or they're going to establish relationships. They're finding you, they're calling you, and they are offering you positions. This is the way they find good people. So, every time I run into this situation, I've run into this exact situation several times recently. He's the only one that really despised his decision. But they're trying to decide between job A and job B. And I'm like thinking, if a recruiter called you, they found you, they liked you, you got past the gate, you have a job offer on the table, that means other people will hire you also at that same new salary, right? That's when you step back, that makes perfect sense. And everybody said, well, yeah, I guess so. They validated my value. Then why are you limiting your option to that one company? Why are you limiting your option to that one company? Why are you limiting your option to these two different cars? Why is it just a couple of things that you're trying to do and you haven't thought about the other things? Think about the other things. We call this, again, widening your options. So anytime you find yourself, I could talk through many, many examples, but I don't want to do that. I just want to leave you to think, anytime you find yourself I'm trying to decide whether or not, when you hear those words coming out of your mouth, stop, step back, laugh at yourself for getting caught in the trap, because you did. I've laughed at myself many times, even since these conversations. Laugh at yourself for getting caught in the trap. And come up with options. I had another example just the other day. Someone was thinking about selling his business. He had grown his business to a certain point. He was going to sell it to this company who wants to buy it, because he said, I don't know how to grow the company. But they do. So I'm trying to decide whether to sell it or not. And that was the question he was like, I'm trying to decide whether to sell it or not. And it was funny because I had just come off a couple of weeks ago, that other conversation. I'm thinking, well, here it is again. It's another decision, A or B. So we started talking through what's C? You know, it's always funny. I love asking that question. Well, what's option C? And everybody looks at me weird like, well, duh. I hadn't thought of that. And again, these are very intelligent, smart people, oftentimes way smarter than I am. But just, you know, you get caught up in the game, and it happens to us. So that's called widening your options. Widen the options. The second thing he talks about in decisive, to get away from the narrow frame decision, is look at what's called the opportunity cost. Now, many of you have heard this terms. If you took economics in college, you hear about the guns or butter, you know, a political argument where we're like, the government's only got so much money. That's when your government's not printing money, but that's another story. The government's only got so much money, and we either can spend it on guns or butter. And it's essentially an argument for peace. it's worth spending, you know, one of the arguments I've heard a politician make, it's worth spending time, effort, and money trying to keep peace or trying to have enough military might to keep peace, because if we get into war, we have to buy more and more guns or weapons. And for every weapon we buy, we cannot buy social stuff or domestic stuff. We can't take care of the program. You know, you can only, it's guns or butter. So you're looking at a decision of opportunity cost. One of the issues the guy had with the job offer is the new job, not only would it pay him more, but it would be in the inner city or downtown. It would be him driving further through the traffic, which he did not have to deal with now. So it was going to probably take at least 2 hours more out of his life every day. By the time he understands what he's talking about. Between the driving, between the insanity of meetings and things like that, 2 more hours a day. So one of the other things we talked about is, what are you giving up? Sure, you're getting more money, but what's the opportunity cost? What would you do with those couple of hours? And he's got young children, and he was like, I don't want to sacrifice that. I'm just don't want to sacrifice that. What are you giving up, though? When you're making a decision, you know, if you're making a decision about buying 2 automobiles, what are you giving up? Maybe one cost a lot more than the other. What could you do with that extra money? Maybe you should ask, what's option C? If you didn't buy either one but kept your car and repaired it, how much money is on the table? What can you do with that? What can you do with that? We are in that situation right now. My wife has a car that's older that she drives, that I've been trying to get her to upgrade, to buy a new one. And so we have a pile of money sitting there to buy another car. And it came out, our car needed, you know, it just needed the maintenance. It wasn't anything major with it. It just needed the maintenance and needed some things. And it was $1,600 worth of stuff. And I was like, wow, that just really hurts. And she put it to me in an opportunity cost. She was like, $1,600? What's that? She said, how much more of that money would we be spending to buy another car? And basically, I've got a car in perfect functioning condition now. She put an opportunity cost on me. I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, clearly, $1,600 versus $30,000 or whatever number you pick. Yeah, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. In this situation, but again, it's a decision-making thing. What are you giving up? What's the opportunity? So the two big opportunity costs are time and money. What's the opportunity lost? And this is, again, an economic term, but you also can consider relationships. What damage might you do to relationships by doing this? Is there an opportunity cost that I've made it so far with a business venture or in a career? And if I step out now, what have I lost? Now, you got to be careful you don't lie to yourself in this and make up things that you've lost. People will tell me all the time, well, I've made it to this part in my career, and if I step out and start a company now, I have to start all over. Well, that's a lie. You think that. That's not true. So you have to be careful of that. But again, what we're talking about is, what are you giving up in making this decision? So there's two different ways to widen the options. Is one is create options C, D, E, or widen the option, and others consider what you're giving up in your decision. Now, the third method they use for getting better decision is what they call the vanishing options test. Now, I didn't realize that, but we got into this with a guy that wanted to sell his business as he was talking about this come up. And I said, what happens? What are you going to do? We started talking through scenarios. I said, what are you going to do if you value your business and this guy doesn't make an offer big enough Or essentially what I'm saying, the offer goes away. If the offer that he's making to you just goes away, he decides not to do it. I mean, and obviously his answer was, well, I'm not going to sell the business. So I'm like, well, you're in the motion of selling your business. So apparently your business is for sale. Does that mean you go out and you find another buyer? And what you're trying to get yourself to do is think through, what is your motive for what you are doing? What is your motive? In almost every one of these cases, it came down to, why are you doing this? What is the goal? In the business venture deal, this guy wants to have a lifestyle so that he can go off and do things like mission trips. And he needs to build up the business to do that, because he has a day job right now. He has a day job with his side business, and the day job's consuming him 8 to 5, right? To go on trips for months at a time, he just doesn't have that kind of vacation. So he wants to build this up. Well, so we started talking through, if that's the goal now, let's take away vanishing options. What happens if you get in this business and to make his business grow, which is now yours and his business, you're going to have to work more. Your whole motive for doing this has gone away. So anytime you're making decisions, to be really, really, really clear on what the motive, what's the ultimate goal that you're trying to achieve, and thinking, does it get me closer to that goal or not? That's somewhat a vanishing options question. The example that he gives in the book on vanishing options is, you've got an employee who is at your front desk, who does some administrative back-end work, like Excel and things like that, but she's also your front desk person. But she's not very social, and she has a terrible personality, if you will, and runs off customers. She's just not very friendly. It's not because, it's just her personality. So you want to fire her. But because you work for a large organization, firing her is challenging. And it takes a lot of work to fire somebody. So he gets in this discussion with this lady who's in this situation. He says, what happens if you cannot fire her because the corporation will not let you, and you can no longer have her working at the front desk, right? He's seeing right through her problem. And she starts saying, well, if she can no longer work through the front desk, well, maybe I can move some other people into that spot. And therefore, maybe she's actually pretty good at Excel and things, and I can move her to the back office. And suddenly she's a good employee. You know, again, we get in these stupid traps where we hadn't thought through what's going on. And vanishing, and he calls this vanishing options test. So these three things, whenever you see people making A, B decisions, remember, widen your options, what's the opportunity cost, and vanishing options. There's three methodologies. All these are covered in the book Decisive. They're actually covered right in the first section of Decisive, if I remember right. So let me give you something to do just for fun. Well, first of all, are you making an A, B decision right now? Are you making an A-B decision? One of the common ones I hear is, I want to start a business and I'm about to quit my job and start a business. You know, so one of the questions that I would ask is, why would you quit your job to start a business? Does it require that? Can you do both? Can you go off and start a business on the side? Or option D, that would be option C, option D, can you go off and partner with the owner of the business that you're looking at to maybe take over their business, depending on the scenario? That's option D. I actually had that call the other day too. I've gotten a lot of weird phone calls in the last couple of weeks about options and opportunities. So are you making A-B decisions right now? That's the first question I have. But here's a just for fun. Right? I love doing this. This is just for fun. When you find others saying, I'm trying to decide whether or not, what do you think? I'm not suggesting you're going to solve their problems. What you really want to do is get them thinking about how narrow they have framed the options. So just start asking them
What's option C? And the way I like to do it is say, okay, you're saying option B is do this, option A is do this. What's option C? That right there, you've added great value to your friend. Because now you've got them thinking. What's my option C? And now you have widened the options.